Out of a compulsion to be thorough more than anything else, I went over to the refrigerator. There was a small window at eye level, made of thick plate glass, and to my surprise, it revealed that there was a light on inside the walk-in. Since I had always believed that the light goes out when you close the door, I stuck my nose to the glass and peeked in. The refrigerator was about 6 feet wide and stretched back a good 8 feet. There were rows of shelves on each side, most of them loaded with a series of large gallon-sized jars, and stuck up against the back wall was something you don't usually see in a refrigerator, an old folding cot. And stranger than that, the cot was occupied. Sitting there quietly, huddled up inside a blanket, was a bundle that appeared to be a young human female. Her head was down, and she was not moving. But as I watched, she raised her head slowly as if she was exhausted or drugged, and her eyes met mine. It was Samantha Aldevar. Without a moment's thought, I grabbed for the handle of the door and pulled. It was not locked from the outside, although I could see that it could not be opened from the inside. "Samantha," I called to her. "Are you all right?" She gave me a weary smile.
"Really great," she said. "Is it time?"
I had no idea what that meant, so I just shook it off. "I'm here to rescue you," I said. "Take you home to your parents."
"Why?"
she said. And I decided that she was indeed doped. It made sense. Drugs would keep her calm and reduce the amount of work it took to watch her. But it also meant I would have to carry her out of here. "All right," I said, "just a second." I looked around me for something to prop the door open and settled on a large 5-gallon cooking pot that hung from the rack above the stove. I grabbed it, stuck it between the refrigerator door and the frame, and went into the refrigerator. I got just 2 steps in when I realized what was in all the jars that filled the shelves in the big refrigerator. Blood. Jar after jar. Gallon after gallon. They were filled with blood. And for a very long moment I looked at the blood and it looked back and I could not move. But I took a deep breath, let it out, and reality slid back into focus. It was just a fluid, nicely locked away where it couldn't hurt anybody. And the important thing was to get Samantha and get out of here. So I took the last few steps to the cot and looked down at her. "Come on," I said. "You're going home."
"Don't want to," she said.
"I know," I said soothingly, thinking that this was a clear example of Stockholm Syndrome. "Let's go." I put an arm around her and lifted her off the cot, and she came up without resistance. I slung her arm around my shoulder and walked her toward the door in freedom.
"Wait a sec," she said, and the words were a little slurred. "Need my purse."
"On the bed," she said, nodding toward the cot, and she took her arm off me and held on to the shelf. "Okay," I said, and I returned to the cot and looked down. I didn't see a purse, but I did hear a clatter, and I turned around to see that Samantha had kicked the 5-gallon pot out of the way and, as I watched, was pulling the refrigerator door closed.
"Stop," I said,
which felt even stupider than it sounds, and I guess Samantha thought so too because she didn't stop. And before I could get to her, she had slammed the door shut and turned to look at me with an expression of half-glazed triumph on her face.
"Told you," she said. "I don't want to go home."